Jonah during January, and we're up to Jonah chapter 4 today. But for those that aren't familiar with the book of Jonah, just let me give you a real quick recap. So in Jonah chapter 1, the evil of the Ninevites reached up to the Lord. And God said to Jonah the prophet, "I want you to go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it." But Jonah didn't want to go to the city of Nineveh. He ran away from the Lord. He went on a boat, went to a place called Joppa, and then went on a boat to Tarshish. And whilst he was on the boat, there was a storm. God sent a storm. And the result was that Jonah had to be thrown overboard. The storm then stopped. Jonah was then swallowed by a fish that God provided. Jonah was inside the fish and he repented. And then the fish conveniently spat Jonah out, and Jonah then obeyed the Lord and he went to the city of Nineveh. Now, to Jonah's surprise, Nineveh repented and trusted the Lord. And now we get to Jonah chapter 4, where Jonah is very unhappy with this situation. Now, we've got some pictures here, because the Jordan mission team, they were in Jordan and they were around Israel, around where Jesus walked. And so they actually went to Joppa, the port where Jonah fled. And so here we have a statue of a big fish that perhaps might have swallowed Jonah. And we've got Craig and Sashi and Georgia and another stranger in the background. And conveniently, this is a picture of Joppa, and it just so happens that there is a storm brewing. Really convenient, isn't it? And here's a few more pictures of Joppa. So we've got the port, the wide open ocean, and some other shots of the storm brewing in the city. Some amazing pictures. Because sometimes the book of Jonah might seem hard to believe sometimes, but as I've said in previous sermons, I believe this is an historical story with a historical person, and we can see now that it's in a historical place as well. So let me pray once more and we'll look at this story in more detail. Father God, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that you are a God that speaks, that you don't remain silent, that you speak to us through your word and by your spirit. I thank you that we can all be here this morning. It's no chance or accident that we are here. You have drawn us here. You have a purpose for us being here. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will help me to speak accurately and truthfully and faithfully from your word this morning. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to share about some things this morning that happened to me when I was in year 7 and year 8. Now, when I was in year 7 and 8, I had some challenges with a particular student. Now, this student was a lot bigger than me, a lot bigger than most of us. He had his growth spurt, and he was also a bit of a pretty boy as well. He had the long hair, he had the blue eyes, all the girls liked him. Now, this student, he made it his mission to make life miserable for me in year 7 and 8. And I felt like there was nothing that I could do about it. So I remember this one time, he got my Billabong cap hat, threw it on the roof. I'd leave my school bag for like 2 seconds, I'd come back, and it would be in the bin. I remember one time I was in the woodwork room, and he kicked the door shut, and so I was locked in the woodwork cupboard, which in some ways was good because I missed the next period of English, but I still had a problem because I was locked in the woodwork cupboard. I remember another time in science, remember spitball guns? Sitting in science, straight in the back of the neck. He even tried to do the mega wedgie on me as well. Thankfully, I got away from that one. And there was nothing, I felt like at the time, I felt like there was nothing that I could do about it. I knew that fighting wasn't the answer, and even if I did try and fight this guy, I didn't have a chance. It would have been like, I reckon, like Hercules versus Mr. Bean, because I reckon he looked a bit like Hercules, had the long hair, blue eyes. I had like my mum's haircut that she'd given me in the garage, and I think I looked a bit more like Mr. Bean. So I had no chance. And I think a lot of people were very thankful, a lot of students, I think even teachers were thankful when this guy left school at the end of year eight. However, years later, once I'd left school and I had become a Christian myself, I found out that this guy, this student, had also become a born-again Christian. Now, you think that I would have been happy about that. But to be honest, I was a bit frustrated by that. I was like, God, really? This guy? You're going to allow this guy to be a Christian? And then we get to Jonah chapter 4 today. And it is an extremely surprising ending, isn't it? It's not what we expect. The end of this book finishes with Jonah complaining about God's mercy to the Ninevites. Complaining about God's grace to the Ninevites. Nineveh will be spared. Nineveh will not perish. And you think Jonah would be happy about this. It's been a successful mission. Yet Jonah is extremely angry with God. Now, from my own personal sinful experience, I can relate to how Jonah might be feeling. And perhaps that's something that you've experienced, or maybe experiencing right now. You think, God, how can you show mercy to this person? Well, this is what we're faced with in Jonah chapter 4. And so again, this is what we see in Jonah chapter 4. We see Jonah's anger and God's compassion. First of all, we see how Jonah prayed to God about this. Second, we see how God provided Jonah with a leafy plant that was going to teach him a lesson. And then we'll jump to the New Testament where we see how Jesus is the better Jonah. So first of all, we see that Jonah prayed to God. To Jonah, this all seemed very wrong. He was angry and he prayed to God. Lord, this is what I tried to tell you when I was still at home. This is why I tried to stall and flee to Tarshish. I knew that you were a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love. Now take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. Now, why does Jonah feel like this? Well, what we have learnt about the Ninevites so far is that they are an extremely evil and violent people group. They are part of the Assyrian Empire. And history tells us just how violent and brutal the Assyrian Empire was. Now, here's some things from the British Museum. This is a quote from the Biblical Archaeological Society. Assyrian national history, as it has been preserved for us in inscriptions and pictures, consists almost solely of military campaigns and battles. It is a gory and blood-curdling history, as we know. We also then get some pictures of what they did. Now, these are pictures of the Israelite commanders about 700 years before Jesus being skinned alive. We have here some more pictures of people pleading to the Assyrian king for mercy, and some more skinning going on over here. And then we have the defeated Israelite soldiers being impaled on poles. So Jonah is extremely angry and upset that the Ninevites, who are part of the Assyrian Empire, are going to be spared. But what Jonah does next is actually really encouraging. He takes his complaint to God. He prays to God about his problem. Did you catch that in verse 1? Jonah wasn't happy. He was angry, and so he prayed to the Lord. Now that's a good thing, and something that we actually want to replicate. There's things that Jonah does that we don't want to replicate, but this is something that Jonah does that we do want to replicate. When we have a problem with God, we pray to God about it, don't we? It's like when you have a problem with a person, you need to talk to the person about that problem that you have so you can hopefully fix that problem. Well, likewise, when we have a problem with God, we need to talk to God about it. And that's exactly what Jonah does. He is very honest with God. He says, "Lord, this is what I tried to tell you when I was still at home. This is why I tried to stall and flee to Tarshish. I knew that you were a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love." Now, in this prayer, we actually get more insight as to why Jonah ran away. Now, Jonah ran away simply because wasn't just because he might have been afraid of being skinned alive. There was actually a deeper reason as to why Jonah ran away. Jonah doesn't like how God is being God. Jonah is not happy with who God is at this point. He's not happy with his character. He's not happy with the way that God is doing things. Maybe that's how you feel sometimes about God. You think you know better than God. You think you can do a better job than God. And at this point, Jonah has a problem with God being God, with who he is. You see, it's incredible. Jonah knows who God is. He actually knows his Bible really well. "You are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love." He gets this from the book of Exodus. "And as he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness.'" Jonah knows who God is. Jonah knows his Bible. He knows that he is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. But Jonah's problem is also, even though he knows this, he just doesn't want this to apply to the Ninevites. Just like I didn't want it to apply to my year 7 and 8 school bully. And then Jonah gets really dramatic about this. He seems to be a bit of a dramatic prophet. He goes, "I would rather die." He would rather die than see the Ninevites saved. Now, before we judge Jonah too harshly, perhaps you feel like that sometimes. You don't get your morning coffee. Ugh. The internet doesn't work. Oh. Your shoelace is in a knot. Oh. And you might say something like this, God, kill me now. You're being a bit dramatic at that point, aren't you? And you might be joking, but we also need to think about what we might be saying when we say things like that. But unfortunately, Jonah is not joking. He would rather be dead than see the Ninevites saved. And then we get to verse 5. And Jonah's heart is revealed even more. In verse 5, Jonah went east of the Ninevite city. And he made himself a shelter, so he had a bit of shade. And he watched and he waited. You see, Jonah was watching and waiting and hopeful that God will still destroy the Ninevite city. Even though they repented, he was still hoping that they would be destroyed. And so now he's sitting on a hill. He's looking at the Ninevites and he's waiting for the fireworks to happen. But they're not going to happen. God is going to teach Jonah a very important lesson. And this brings us to our second point. God provided a leafy plant for Jonah. God provided a leafy plant that is going to teach Jonah a lesson. The Lord provided a leafy plant that grew up over Jonah and provided shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy with the plant. But in the morning, God provided a worm. It chewed the plant. The plant withered. God provided an east wind. The blaze of the sun went on Jonah's head. He began to feel faint. And again he says, I wish I was dead. Well, first of all, we see that Jonah is very happy about this plant, isn't he? Now, I'm not sure where God got this plant from. I don't know if he got it from Bunnings or Flower Power or Tim's Gardening or the Nineveh Nursery. But Jonah is very happy with this plant. And we need to notice here that God keeps providing for Jonah, keeps showing grace to Jonah despite his stubbornness. I mean, Jonah's stubborn right throughout this book, but God keeps showing him grace, showing him mercy despite his stubbornness. What a great God we have today. So God provides this plant. Jonah is happy for a little bit. But now God provides a worm to eat the plant. And then God provides an east wind to blow on Jonah's head. Now this is God still showing grace to Jonah. This is grace because God is trying to teach Jonah something so that he will grow and mature in his faith. The worm ate the plant. It withered. The east wind and the blaze of the sun went on Jonah's face. And again Jonah said, I would rather be dead. Now we see again Jonah's true heart here. He cares more about his selfish comfort than he does care for the people of Ninevites, the Ninevites being saved. He cares more about the comfort that he is getting from the plant, more about the relief that he is getting from the plant than he does about the Ninevites being saved. Cares most about his own comfort. And this is what we need to be careful of today. And I speak this to myself. Satan loves comfortable Christians. Satan loves Christians that are more concerned about comfort in this life. Satan loves Christians that are more concerned about how much money is in their bank account, how many dollars they have, over people, lost souls, being saved. Satan loves comfortable Christians. He wants to make us comfortable. He loves Christians that are seeking shelter and shade and comfort in this life. Now, with thanks to God, we have a wonderful example this morning, don't we? Of people that have got out of their comfort zone and just gone on a mission trip to Jordan. Praise be to God for that example that we have. But we have other opportunities as well, don't we? There's the Cloncurry mission trip coming up. And if you're interested in that, please come talk to me soon. There are the outreach ministries that Steve does during the week. And he's always needing extra helpers for that. There's the primary school scripture. Now, you might not feel comfortable teaching, but we always need helpers in the classroom. There are some great opportunities for us. There's even opportunities where we can give the money away as well. If you have $1,000 so that someone from this church can go to Cloncurry, well, then that would be appreciated and give God praise for that. Or perhaps if you have $10 a week to sponsor Callum with the ministry that he's doing, come talk to me about that as well. Now, I say these things so we don't become like Jonah. We don't want to become like Jonah here. We don't want to become comfortable, self-absorbed, and arrogant like Jonah is here, who doesn't care for the lost Ninevites. We don't want to be like that. And then this is God's response to Jonah. God says to Jonah, "Do you have the right to be angry about this plan?" Jonah, he's all focused on himself, says, "Yes, I do. I am very angry and I wish I was dead." And then the Lord says to Jonah, "Why do you care about this plant? You didn't tend to it or make it grow. It sprung up overnight and it died overnight. But should I not be concerned about the 120,000 people that are in Nineveh that don't know their right hand from their left? And what about the animals?" God is saying to Jonah, "You care more about this plant than you do the people of Nineveh. You care more about this plant, which you did not even tend to or create, than the people of Nineveh, which I created. You care more about this one plant than the 120,000 people that are in Nineveh. You care more about this one plant than the 50 to 60,000 children that might be in Nineveh." And then God appears to become righteously mocking of Jonah. "What about the animals, Jonah? Do you care about them? Do you care about the cows, the sheep, the chickens? Do you care about the chickens, Jonah? Do you care about the poodles and the puppies, Jonah? Do you care about the puppies? Do you care about the little rabbits, Jonah? Do you care about the bunny rabbits? Jonah, what is it that you care about other than your selfish, self-absorbed, self-seeking self. End of book. Which leads to our third point today, which is this. Jesus, the better Jonah. Now, even though the book of Jonah ends suddenly, gets us thinking, doesn't it? The Bible, it's not the end of the Bible. And history will one day usher in a better Jonah. This is what the scripture says. This is what Jesus says. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now something greater than Jonah is here. What does Jesus tell us about himself? Well, Jesus is the better Jonah. You see, Jonah fought God. Jonah disobeyed God. Jonah ran away from God. But Jesus obeyed God. He willingly went to the cross. Jesus didn't run in the opposite direction like Jonah did. Jesus willingly went to the cross. You see, Jonah runs from sinners. Jesus runs to sinners. Jonah showed no concern for the lost Ninevites. Jesus shows great concern for all that are lost. Jesus searches and seeks for every one of his lost sheep. Jonah sat outside the city of Nineveh, hoping that it would be destroyed. Jesus wept over the future destruction of Jerusalem. So we need to decide today, who are we going to be more like? Jonah or Jesus? Like Jonah, who showed no concern for Ninevite sinners, or like Jesus, who showed great concern for all sinners? Like Jesus, who left the comfort of heaven to save sinners like you and me. Now, I admit today that I was once like Jonah when it came to my year 7 and 8 school bully. But my prayer is today that we will all be more like Jesus.
On that note, we're going to sing a song called More Like Jesus. Will you please stand to sing?